Hello, everyone. My name is Corey, and you're here with me now. And welcome to episode 11 of The Large Old Cup. For the people who do subscribe, I did want to address the fact that there was not an episode last week due to a little thing called burnout. For those of you who know me know that I have been burning both ends of the candle for quite a while now. And it caught up to me in a very fun way last Saturday, two Saturdays ago, where I woke up feeling awful and exhausted. And then the next day I felt even worse. And I was like, oh, this is absolute burnout. So I got through last week working, and I told my boss, because they had returned back from their break from their personal issues, that I was going to be taking this last week off. So I have been off work since last Friday afternoon. I have accomplished so little, and there is that perfectionist side of me, that part of me that likes getting things done, completing things, that's very aggravated with myself at the moment for that. But it's okay, because the whole reason I was burned out is because I kept pushing myself to do things when I was in no state to continue doing that. So, all things considered, it has been, I don't want to say that I'm completely refreshed. That would be optimistic at best. So we'll just say that I am a little bit better than I was a week ago. So, on with the show. For those who also know, I keep saying that today, but for those who know me know that I enjoy listening to podcasts while I work. And I listen to quite a few, and the topics kind of range across the board. Like, there's some of you who know about So All Right, which is the podcast that gave me the idea to do this one. There is also some comedy podcasts. There's like two wrestling podcasts I listen to. Oddly enough, I don't listen to any comic book podcasts aside from the one that I do with my friends John and Dylan. I don't know why that is. I think it's like one of those strange things where I enjoy hearing the opinions of people that I'm close to, but like total strangers talking about like comics or science fiction or fantasy or anything, like just strangers, I have no interest in whatsoever, because I found that for the most part there are a lot of people with some very interesting and problematic views out there. So anyway, one of the podcasts I listen to is one I've been listening to for a very long time now, and it is called How Did This Get Made? And it is a comedy podcast for the most part, starring Paul Scheer, June Diane Rayfield, and Jason Mantzoukas. And they are three comedians who watch movies and then talk about said movie for about an hour or so. And usually the theme is the movies are not terribly good. However, they are very optimistic, creative people, and they'll usually find one or two things that they're super into. So since they have been on the air so long, every Monday they do what they call Matinee Monday, where they just air an episode that they have done in the past. So this last Monday they put out their episode of Striptease, which is a movie starring Demi Moore, where she plays a woman who becomes an exotic dancer to make ends meet while dealing with an abusive ex-husband and also various other things. And June had such an interesting like breakdown of the movie that is like proof that progress has been getting made. So this is a movie that came out in 1996. And one of the things that they play around in the movie is the concept of the mother and the whore, or the Madonna and the whore, you know, where women are viewed in one of two lights. They're either chaste and virtuous, or they are the opposite of chaste and virtuous. And June was talking about how this movie was really problematic because Demi Moore's character was constantly being portrayed as better than the other exotic dancers. Like, oh, she's intelligent and she's smart and she has aspirations and goals in life. And these other women do not. And like you said, it was kind of nice to see something like that get tackled and beaten into submission so thoroughly by June. Because it is something that's gross, and it is something that I feel like has been changing for the better in the last almost 30 years since that movie came out. We've seen a lot of good progress in the realm of just, you know, not just women being treated better, but like sex work in general being treated better. You know, because there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with it at all. But I wanted, like you said, it was just such an interesting topic because of how clearly the times have changed in that regard. And, you know, what's old is new again in that, in 2 weeks, the sequel to Beetlejuice comes out, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice. And there is such a morbid curiosity in me to see this movie because I love Beetlejuice. Love it. I grew up practically raised by that movie and the cartoon that came out after the fact. I remember having Beetlejuice toys, you know, and not the cartoon, like the movie, because it's so interesting. I had this conversation with a coworker about how toys were made for movies that children should not be seeing. Like, as a kid, I remember, not only was there Beetlejuice, and Beetlejuice, there's a scene where to divert his attention away from the main characters played by Gina Davis and Alec Baldwin, a woman who represents the afterlife and the recently deceased creates a brothel in the miniature town that Alec Baldwin's character had created, Dante's Inferno, which I used to have a t-shirt that had that logo on it, and he, in that same earlier scene, Beetlejuice grabs his crotch and loudly yells, "Nice fucking model." After, I think he kicked over a tombstone, if I'm not mistaken. Anyway, like I said, it was a movie that, you know, maybe should not have been advertised as for kids. Because, you know, not only did they make the toys that I had, but they also made the cartoon itself, which, you know, the cartoon was not nearly in the same, you know, portrayal of the characters as the movie was. You know, for example, Beetlejuice and Lydia were friends, whereas in the movie, Beetlejuice was trying to make Lydia his child bride, you know? So it's interesting that, that happened and they marketed it to kids, but other big ones... Terminator 2, there were Terminator toys. I remember having Terminator toys, and this is a movie where, like, he peels his fucking skin off to reveal a robotic exoskeleton, which is horrific. You know, in Sarah Connor's, daydreams, nightmare, she envisions a nuclear war in which her body gets incinerated, and there's the skeleton holding the chain link fence, and she's screaming, you know? That's horrific. The big one, because I had a fascination with him that continues to stay with me today, and it has formed my opinion on my love of the work of H.R. Giger. Hey, really, Giger, which is a nice reference for those who are familiar with comedy Bang Bang. Alien. There were alien toys. Tons of alien toys. And, like, how do you make tons of alien toys? Because, like, usually in the movies, only one person survives, and there's, like, one kind of xenomorph. Well, when you market it to children, you create a bunch of fake xenomorphs. Like, the scorpion xenomorph, or the bull xenomorph, the gorilla xenomorph. And I don't know if, like, the idea was that a facehugger, like, latched onto a gorilla and impregnated it with its egg, and it burst out with a chest burster, and because of that it came out kind of funky looking. I don't know. But those were toys. And then, like, the Space Marines, who several of them died in that, like, one scene of Aliens, they are like given new designs and are the heroes of this. And it's kind of a real Ghostbusters cartoon situation where the redesigns of the Space Marines look nothing like the actors, and that's to get around to having to pay the actors for their likenesses. Real scummy, but like, regardless, there it is. But I just, like you said, there was like RoboCop figures, and that movie's violent as fuck. Like, seriously, brutal shit. And I remember there was a Tales of the Crypt Keeper cartoon, which if you were watching Tales of the Crypt Keeper, like the cartoon, I also was watching it on HBO because there was a period of time in my life where my brother and I shared a room. Now, mind you, my brother's 15 years older than I am. I shared a room with my brother when I was 5, meaning my brother was 20. So imagine sharing living space with somebody that is barely past a toddler phase and you're like in college. It was an odd situation and it didn't last terribly long. But a side effect of that was that my brother had a TV in his room and my brother left like HBO and like Cinemax and stuff on at night. And I was an insomniac as a small child, so I didn't sleep, which kind of continues to this day, my issues with sleeping. Regardless, I saw like all of the Friday the 13th movies. I saw Nightmare on Elm Streets. I saw the Aliens, the Predators. I saw the Child's Play movies. But I also saw like Kids in the Hall, which Kids in the Hall was a very big motivator in my sense of humor as well. I love Kids in the Hall. I also, you know, Dave Foley in drag made me feel ways that are still very much there today. You know, we won't go into the realms of human sexuality, but I can thank David Foley for some things. regardless, I was exposed to a lot of stuff that a child probably shouldn't have been exposed to. And it reminds me of, I used to have a coworker who is a Generation Z kid. And this is the part where I alienate people because I'm old. I am staring 40 down the barrel. And I'm reminded of this sometimes because there's a comic book resource that I use where you track your polls and like what you've read and like you rate them and what have you. And there's a lot of younger people on there. And I will tell you that I am ancient to these children. And I don't talk to them very much because of that reason. But regardless, I was with my my coworker at the time, who's a proud Generation Z kid, just graduated OSU about 6 months before she started working for us. And she was talking about how her generation was so, you know, like more proactive and more aware and more focused on like making things safe because they were exposed to the internet their entire lives and they saw things they shouldn't have seen. And I remember like just kind of nodding and agreeing because she liked to fight and she liked to fight about stuff that you shouldn't be talking about at work. And I had no desire to rile her up. So I was like, oh, yeah, no, I get it. Yeah, I feel you. But in reality, I was like, I saw, like, Skinamax at 5 years old. You know, like, I'm not saying it's the exact same shit that you did, but, like, I turned out okay, I'd like to think. but kind of going back to what we're talking about with Beetlejuice coming out, it is interesting how many things are being revisited. I think that Hollywood is creatively bankrupt, and because of that, they cannot generate any new ideas. I remember seeing, it was an article that Sony had put out, or it was about Sony, and Sony was saying that one of the reasons they were struggling is that they don't have any IP that has a lot of source materials, like comic books, because the comic books are pretty much between Disney and Warner Brothers, because that's Marvel and DC. They don't have, like, Lord of the Rings, and they don't have the Alien movies. Everything is split up between, like, the same two or three companies. And, like, Sony is, you know, on the outside looking in. And a lot of that's their own fault, but we won't get into that sort of thing. But, you know, in the last year, you have, like, more and more, like, Marvel's putting out more movies, and DC is going to start putting out movies now with James Gunn as their creative head. There's Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice. Alien Romulus just came out not that long ago. And it just seems like we're just revisiting old ideas and things that used to be good. And, like, I enjoyed Alien Romulus well enough. Like, the first half of that movie was great. It set a mood, it set a tone, it explored areas of the alien mythos that had not really been touched upon. Like, basically, like, what's civilian life like in this dystopian future of Weyland Yutani, you know? So you got to see people trying to live in that desperation of trying to get away from it. So, like, that worked for me. But then, like, the second half of the movie had so many, like, callbacks and wink-winks and references to the old stuff that it kind of took me out a little bit. Very famously, back in, like, probably 2011, 2010, when Man of Steel came out, for those, we talked about this in an earlier episode, I'm a very big Superman fan. One of my favorite characters of all time, if not one, number one. But I saw Man of Steel by Scott Snyder, and I really liked it. And then as I was walking out of the theater, I was talking to somebody about it, and the longer I talked about the movie, the more I realized I didn't like it. And I don't want to say I had the same experience with Alien Romulus, but it was like, you know, like, oh, did they have to squeeze in like 5-6 references to the older movies in the second half of the movie? Couldn't they have just gotten away with one or two? Like, it just seemed, I watched a review of someone talking about the movie, and they said, like, oh, yeah, this is, it's like if you asked ChatGPT or an AI to write a fan film about aliens, and this is what it came up with. And I feel like that's not unfair to say. I think the argument's there for sure, but, you know, that is what it is. And the reason I'm bringing this up is not only, A, because Beetlejuice is coming out, but also the trailer for the Minecraft movie came out. And boy, oh boy, does that look like a thing. And this is not that far removed from the Borderlands movie that came out and is considered one of the worst movies ever made. Like, I think it came out with a 0 on Rotten Tomatoes. And then the Crow remake that came out, and that wasn't well received. And we're just like, we're just looking at this kind of world right now where there's nothing that is unique and original that's getting made, and people are wondering why the movie theaters are failing. So I feel very fortunate. I live a couple of blocks away from an independent movie theater / bar / pizzeria called Studio 35. I like that place so much because not only is it does show modern movies, this is where I saw Alien Romulus. It's affordable, but they also do like special events and special little showings of things. Like, case in point, on the 21st of September, which is just like 2-ish weeks away, they have the third Friday of every month. They're showing the third movie in a series of movies every month. So, like, last month it was Naked Gun 33 and a third, if I'm saying that right, because that title is very convoluted for the joke. But this month they're doing Batman Forever, and let me tell you how excited like 10-year-old Corey is right now, because I saw Batman Forever in the movie theater in 1990, was it 95 or 96 when it came out? And I was hyped as a motherfucker as a little kid because I loved Batman. I still love Batman. I still read Batman. But I was super excited because it was the first movie that was going to have Robin in it. And like, Robin's one of my favorite characters. Maybe I'll talk about that another time. I do talk about it on the podcast, The Smark Avengers. We did a whole episode talking about the various Robins. Check that out if you're remotely interested. But I was super fucking hyped to see Batman Forever. And it's a movie that is routinely regarded as bad. And I would disagree. I think the reason people think it's bad is that it was not by Tim Burton, and it was such a drastic shift from Tim Burton. Again, we talk about this on my superhero comic book podcast, but like, basically Tim Burton really alienated the corporate sponsors with how creepy and violent Batman Returns was. But I will not hold that against them, because Batman Returns features a song by Susie and the Banshees, which is amazing. It's one of my favorite Susie songs. But, yeah. So I'm super excited for that. They also do bad movies. Like, they would used to do a bad movie night. I think they're kind of bringing it back, but it won't be the same. And it was, like, terrible shit. Like, I saw Dead Heat starring Treat Williams, rest in peace, and Joe Piscopo, where Treat Williams dies and is resurrected as a zombie, essentially. And as the movie progresses, the deader he gets. And, yeah, it's a garbage movie. But I saw it thanks to Studio 35. They also have this annual, this monthly thing for the most part, where Fritz the Night Owl is, you know, presents a movie. Now, Fritz the Night Owl was Columbus, Ohio's version of Elvira, Mistress of the Dark, or our version of Svengoolie. Basically, he was the character that hosted the late night movie, the late night monster movie in the 90s, but he actually did it in the 80s and the 70s too. And Fritz was just this guy. I think his gimmick was he lived in a nest on top of the radio tower that I could see from my apartment. And yeah, he called people groovers, if I'm not mistaken. What's up, groovers? Because it was the 70s. And Fritz used to show up to Studio 35 and would sign autographs and stuff. I actually met him there. Because when I first moved to Columbus, Ohio, I saw that they were showing Alien, going back to Aliens. They were showing Alien at Studio 35, and I was like, oh, that would be sick to go see Alien in a movie theater. Like, the OG one with Sigourney Weaver and stuff, right? That really narrows it down. She was in, like, four of those fucking movies. But regardless. The original with Harry Dean Stanton. There we go. Anyway, I went to the theater, and there was this old man there, and everybody was hyped as fuck. He was wearing these huge sunglasses and this hat, and I got a poster of Jack Nicholson from The Shining that his character is kind of, like, positioned in the background, signed by Fritz, and it says, "Here's Fritz." And here's is spelled real funny. Like, that wouldn't, if I was going to spell out how it sounds drawn out like that, I would not have done it the way he did. Like, he did the first E too long, so it was more like, "Here's." Yeah, it didn't work that well. Anyway, I have seen a couple of the Fritz and Idol movies like that. And basically what it is that it's, you see a classic movie, every 20 minutes the movie breaks, and Fritz is superimposed somewhere in the movie to give you some facts about it. So, like, I saw Alien with him. I saw Nightmare on Elm Street. I saw Little Shop of Horrors. And Little Shop of Horrors was cool because they showed the original ending to the movie that didn't test well with people. So they redid the ending to make it more optimistic and happy. So it was cool to see the original ending and then the real quote unquote ending. But so that was real nifty. But Fritz is 93 years old now. So he does not appear at these events any longer. They still have them. They still show the movie with his interruptions. But Fritz is way too old to be out and about with a bunch of strangers at, like, midnight on a Friday. Which is wild when you think that, like, when I moved here, it was 10 years ago. So he's doing that shit at 83. And that's fucking hardcore. I only hope to still be that weird and that kooky at 83 years old. I feel like time might be on my side because I'm getting close to that halfway mark. But, you know, we'll see. So, going back to what I'm saying, like, when all of these ideas are, if they feel creatively bankrupt because the studios keep going back to the old stuff to make new versions of, or sequels 15, 20 years from the original of, or, you know, they're going to, like, video game properties to make movies out of them, or they're finding another kind of, like, so this is, like, a Marvel thing right now. Marvel has made movies with all of the heavy hitter characters, save for the X-Men, and thank God they got the rights to do the X-Men, because they were scraping the bottom of the fucking barrel trying to come up with new characters to put movies about. The fact that they got the Guardians of the Galaxy to work, amazing, considering that's weird. And I think we saw hubris with how the Eternals worked out, because they could not do that shit with the Eternals. So anyway, yeah, like, just seeing all of these long, like, these sequels that are years and years away, or adaptations of video games, or remakes of old stuff, it's just, like, the last movie, and I'm not a big movie watcher, that is well established and documented on my other show, but the last movie that I did see in a theater that was not a sequel or an adaptation of something was A24's The Iron Claw, which was a movie about the Von Erich family, which is basically a group of wrestlers out of Texas in the 80s, and sort of like the tragedy that befell that family as all of the brothers essentially started to die between, I think it was like 1986 and 1994. The years might be a little on that, but it's a real tragic movie about, like, these brothers that bonded and how they, that was how they got through their trauma, and then their other coping mechanisms being the things that ultimately killed them. So, like, damn, it was really heavy. And, like, even then you could say that was an adaptation, because it was just, like, the real-life story of this family and the one remaining brother basically giving the studio permission to make a movie about his life and tell the story of his brothers. So, you know, like, what's the answer to this? Because, like, studios are movie theaters are failing, and they have been failing really steadily since the COVID pandemic. A lot of people want to say it's streaming's fault, and I get it, because, like, you know, like, it's so much easier and cheaper to just watch the movie on the thing you're already paying $15-$17 a month on. You don't have to go outside or put on pants or spend, you know, $30 on concessions and deal with other assholes in the theater who are either going to run their mouths off or not put their fucking phone away. I get it. I really do. But, like, being in the movie theater and watching Alien Romulus and, like, having, like, the creepy ambiance and, like, being in this large, dark room that's not your home, really added to the experience. So that's kind of been a goal of mine, is to go to Studio 35 more often and, you know, either check out, like, a newer movie or one of their gimmick nights. Like, you know, they do other gimmick nights. They have a Rocky Horror every so often. I think it's every, like, first Saturday where they have the Rocky Horror Picture Show. Regardless, if I had some advice to you, go embrace the arts in creativity and watch something good. You know, try not to watch some garbage that's going to get funneled out and pushed out by studio executives who are just looking for a quick buck. Try to find something unique and something wholly original, if it's possible, because it's getting real fucking hard out there. Reclaim physical media. Quit downloading stuff and streaming stuff, because when they decide that service doesn't exist anymore, you lose everything you paid for. But that's going to be it for me. I hope you guys enjoy it. Have a nice day. Be recklessly brave and be delusionally confident. Be recklessly optimistic as well, if you are being brave already. I'll see you guys later. Have a good one.